Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Moed Katan has been dedicated to Le'iloi Nishmas, Perel Bas Reb Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan Daf Yud Gimel. In the Mishnah, at the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Mabez, we learned that if a person is Mechavein Melachte B'Moed, he plans things such that he's now faced with a case of Adavar HaAvid on Chol HaMoed, but he could have done it before Yom Tif. Then the din is Yoyvedu, which means that we make a knas. They lose the things that they did the malacha with. And the Gemara asks, a shayla b'aymenei Reb Yirmiyah mi Reb Zeira, what happens if a person was kiven malachta b'moyed? He was mechave malachta, he planned it the way that he's not supposed to. Umeis, and then he died. Mao shiiknesu banav achrav. Do we give the same knas to the person's children? Now, essentially, there are two ways to understand what the Gemara's suffix is. Remember, we explained in Daf Yud Beis that there are two chalakim to the knas that Chazal instituted when a person is mechave malachta b'moyed. Number one, if the person did not yet do the malacha, Bezdin does not allow him to do the malacha in Chol HaMoed since he was mechave malachta, since he waited until Chol HaMoed and could have done it before. The second chalak of the knas is that if the person actually did the malacha on Chol HaMoed, Bezdin is ma'abed, they're mafkir, that thing that he did the malacha with. So in our Gemara, we can understand that Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking one of two things. Either his shaila relates to the first chalak of the knas, or it relates to the second chalak of the knas. Meaning, we could be talking about a person who is mechavein melachtai, and he died before he had a chance to do the malacha. And now our question is, do we give the knas to his children, not allowing them to do the malacha on Chol HaMoed? Just like we cancel the father and we tell him, you're not allowed to do the malacha on Chol HaMoed. And the other way we can understand is we talking about a person who actually did the malacha on Chol HaMoed. He was mechave malachtai, he was over the din, and he did the malacha, where we said that there's a knas, that Chazal take it away from him. They're mafkir, these nechasim, the nechasim that he did the malacha with, and they cause that he can't have enough from them. So now the question is, if the person did the malacha, and he dies, do we do the same thing to his children? Are we mafkir the nechasim that the father did the malacha with? And this is a machlokes rishonim in our sugya. Rashi in Dibra Maschil, Mahu Sheikansu Bonav Achrav, understands the second way, that our shayla is talking about a person who did the malacha, and now the question is, do we make it that the children cannot have hanah from that malacha? However, Tosfos in Dibra Maschil Im Timtza Loimar clearly learns the first way. Tosfos says, when explaining the Gemara that differentiates between the Shaila concerning a person who puts a mum in a Bechor, which you're not allowed to do, and if a person does put a mum in the Bechor, Bedafka, to make it about mum so that he could be nana from it, we make a knas that he no longer could be nana from that Bechor. So Rabbi Yirmiyah speaks out that even im timtza loymar tzaram oizem b'chor kansu b'noy achrov, even if you hold that the din is legabe that knas, that we give the knas to the son as well, that could be mishum the isura d'oiraisa. That's the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara. That when a person puts a mum in a b'chor, is being over in an isur d'oiraisa. So therefore the knas is a more severe knas, and it deserves to be passed down to his son as well. Masha'enkein, being mechavin malachtoi b'moyed, is only an iser drabbanan. That is the posh the pshat in the Gemara, according to the girsa that we have in front of us. However, Tosfos says that the way to read the Gemara is, im timtza loymar tzarim oizen abachor, umeis kontzu b'nei achrov, even if you'll say that when a person puts a mum into a bachar, we gave the knas to his son as well, says Tosfos, that is only mishum da'asa isura. Tosfos says, don't read it because he did an iser d'oraisa. Rather, you could say very simply, over there by the Bechor, when a person put a mum, he did an iser. A person was over on an iser, so we give the knas to him and his son. Moshe Enkein says Tosfos, it was a mechavim malachtoi loy osa isura adayin. He did not yet do an iser. All he did was wait until Chol HaMoed. Because Tosfos understands that the knas that we're discussing in our Gemara is the person waited until Chol HaMoed, and the question is, should we give the knas to the son that he's not allowed to do the malacha now on Chol HaMoed? Rashi actually is goyris in the Gemara mishum the isura d'oraisahu, because, like we said, Rashi understands that the case that we're talking about is where the person actually actually did the malacha already on Chol HaMoed. So we can't say that the chiluk between this and the Tzarim Oizim Bechor is that Tzarim Oizim Bechor, you did a malacha, you did an Isser, and over here you did not yet do the Isser, because you did the Isser already. So therefore, the only way to be mechal between Tzarim Oizim Bechor and our case is that by Tzarim Oizim Bechor, you did an Isser Da'iraisa. Masha'inkin here, the Isser that you did was only an Isser Da'rabana. Even though we know that Shitas Rashi is that doing a malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isser Da'iraisa, says the Ritva, that doesn't make a difference, because the Isser by a Dover HaAvid to do the malacha, wait until Chol HaMoed and then do it on Chol HaMoed, is not an Isser Da'iraisa. Dover HaAvid is something which is Mutter Da'iraisa. So if a person waits and does it B'dafka on Chol HaMoed, is only being over in Isser D'Rabbanan, even according to Shitas Rashi. Now it happens to be that Rashi in Gittin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where we have a very similar sugya to the one here, explains the Gemara's Shaila the way that Tosfos in our sugya explains. Meaning that we're talking about where he did not yet do the malacha, and the question is, did we give the knas to the son, telling him that he's not allowed to now go and do the malacha? However, over there, it's mukhach to explain that way in the Gemara. Because in the Gemara speaks out the tzadim of the suffix, and the reason to differentiate between our case of leaving malacha over till the last minute before Chol HaMoed, and the case over there in Gittin, which our Gemara brings as well, which is where a person was over the Isser and sold his Eved to a Goy. So the Gemara explains that there's a difference between our case and that case of selling your Eved. Even if the halacha is that a person who's kivim malachti b'moyed umeis loy kanso b'noy acharov, the Gemara says that could be mishum deloy avad isura. He wasn't over any Isser. Mashen kein, where a person sold his Eved, he did do an Isser. So you see from the Lashon of the Gemara over there that the case that we're discussing is where the person did not yet do the Isser. And Rashi doesn't change the girsa over there. And Rashi even speaks out, the hasam hudloi avad isura, shari meis koidam amoyed v'loi boli de isser. We're talking about a case where the person passed away before Yom Tov, so he never was over the isser. So we see that Rashi is getting it directly from the Gemara. The Gemara is using the fact that the person was not over an isser to explain the difference between our case and the case of selling your Eved. So why in our sugya does Rashi explain that we're talking about a case where the person was already over the Isser? The answer is very simple. It's not Rashi's fault. The Gemara does it. Because our Gemara, when trying to explain the difference between a person who left his malacha till the last minute before Chol HaMoed and the person who sold his Eved, the Gemara does not say, "Im tim tzaloymar machar avdei lo'evi kechav mu'meis kontsu b'nei acharov." If you hold that in a case where a person sold his Eved, the son does get a knas, mishum de avar isura, masha'enke in the case of a person who left his malacha till Chol HaMoed was not over an Isser. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says something totally different. The Gemara says, imtim tzalaymar mochar avder lo'evi kechav mo'meiz kansu b'nei achrav mishum de kol yoyma mafkalei mimitzvis. The reason why it makes sense to give a person a knas and give that knas even to his son is because it's a much worse avla. The person, every second that he remains in the reshus of the guy, he's not being oisik b'mitzvahs. Masha'enke, in our case, it's not a perpetual chet. There's nothing ongoing that would propel us to give a knas to the son as well. So if anything, the fact that our Gemara does not say that the chiluk between the two cases is that by selling your Eved, the person was already over an Isser. Masha'enke, in our sugya, you were not yet over an Isser. That shows us that our Gemara is talking about a case where you already were over the Isser, like Rashi explains. And the Karen Oira actually asks this as a question on Tosfos. He says that since according to Tosfos, we're talking about a case where the person has not yet been over the Isser, why does the Gemara have to come on to the reason by Eved that you're constantly in a state where he's not being Mekayim Mitzvahs? Let the Gemara just say that by Eved you were over the Isser of selling him, as opposed to in our case, you were never over any Isser. Now in fact, in the Sefer Beis Meir, in Er Chaim, Simen Tov Kuf Lamed Ches, he uses our Gemara as a raya that the Knas includes two Chalakim, like we mentioned before. Because he brings down that there are Rishonim that understand that the Knas only had one part to it. The Knas of a person who leaves his Malacha up until Yom Tov, so that he could do it on Chol HaMoed, what Chazal were misakin, was that you're not allowed to do the Malacha. What happens if the person did the Malacha? They weren't mafkir as nechasim. So he says from the Gemara in Gittin, there's a strong mashmos like that tzad, because the Gemara only discusses the fact that the person gets a knas when he did not do an Isser. That's what the Gemara says, lo yavar isura. However, he says, from our sugya, you see not like that. You see that there's even a knas when the person already did the Isser. The Gemara in Bechoris actually follows the pattern of the Gemara in Gittin, not our Gemara. There the Gemara is talking about the case of Tzorim Oizen Bechor, and it says that even if you say that a person who's Mechavim Alachti B'moyed Umeis Loikonsu B'noy Acharov, that's only because he did not do an Isser. But Hachamai. So it comes out that essentially we have two ways of learning our Gemara, like we said, Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos learns our Gemara just like the Gemaras in Gittin and in Bechoris, that we're only talking about a person who did not do the Malacha until Yom Tov. He left it over, he didn't have a chance to do anything, and then he died. And the Shaila is, do we give a Knas to the son, not allowing him to do the Malacha? There, just like the Gemara in Bechoris and the Gemara in Gittin explain that the kula of the case of Mechav Malachti B'moyed is that he was loy avar isura, Tosfos wants to learn the same way in our Gemara. And that's why they take out the word de'oraisa, because the point that's mechalik between the case of Mechav Malachti B'moyed and the case of Tzorim Oizen Bechor is not that Tzorim Oizen Bechor is de'oraisa and this is de'rabanan. The difference is much deeper. There you did an Isser and here you didn't do an Isser. And the one question that remains unanswered according to Tosfos is the Karen Oiris question, which is that why when the Gemara raises the issue of the person who sold his Eved, doesn't the Gemara say that a person who sold his Eved was over an Isser? Masha'en came, the person who was Mechav Malach Tamoed did not do an Isser. Why does the Gemara have to resort to a new time that the person who sold his Eved is Mafkele Mimitzvahs Kol Yoima? That is according to Tosfos. Rashi learns that in our sugya we are goyres the word d'oraisa because he learns that our sugya is talking about a person who already was over the Isser. And the only difference between our case and the case of Tzorim Oizen Bechor is that one is an Isser d'oraisa and one is an Isser d'rabbanan. The case of Tzorim Oizen is a d'oraisa, our case is d'rabbanan. And Lefize, we don't have the question of the Karen Oira. We understand why the Gemara needs to resort to a new tam to be mechalik between the person selling his Eved and the person who was mechavim malach to be moyed. It's not that the person who sold his Eved was over an Isser and our person was not an over an Isser, because they were both over Isurim. It's just that the person who sold his Eved put him in a position where kol yoyma mafkele mi mitzvahs, and the person who did the malacha on chalamoyed didn't do anything that drastic. His time was over a one-time Isser. We are left wondering, though, according to Shitas Rashi, why is it that the sugya in Gittin and in Bechoris focus on the case of Mechavim Balachti B'moyed, where the person did not yet do an Isser? Masha'en Kein, our sugya, for some reason, is focused on the additional case where the person was already over the Isser of doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed. And we're discussing the second chelik of the knas. The knas that they were mafkir is nechasim, he's not allowed to have anah from the thing that he did the malacha with. Why would we do that? At least according to Tosfos, it's all uniform. The three sugyas are talking about the same exact knas. According to Rashi, we choose to discuss a different case than the case in the other sugyas, and that is tzarchian. Now concerning the din, that a person who sells his eved to a goy, that we gave him a special knas, it's important to point out that there as well, there are two chalakim to the knas that Chazal were misakin. It's not like in our sugya where the two chalakim relate to two different cases. Over here we have two different scenarios. One scenario is where the person did not yet do the malacha and we say there's a knas, don't do the malacha on Chol HaMoed. And the other scenario is which he already did the malacha and we tell him that you're not allowed to have anah from the malacha, we're mafkir it, etc. By selling your Eved, there's one case. The scenario is where the person sold the Eved. However, there are two things that Chazal said as a result of his having been over that Isser. Number one, where Mechayev the person to be poida the Eved, even for 10 times the value of the Eved. That the Gemara says over there in Gittin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Now there's also a halacha that if the Eved runs away from his non-Jewish master, his old master, the Jew that sold him to the goy, is no longer allowed to be mishabed this eved. And that is what says Beferish in the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis in Gittin, that if a person sells his eved to a goy or to chutz laretz yotza ben choyrin, he goes out free. So that means that even though he ran away from his master, the adin is no longer allowed to use him as his eved. And once again, we have to ask which one of these two gezeris, these two knosses, is Rabbi Yirmiyah referring to when he discusses the possibility of giving the knas to the son? We could be asking, is the son mechuyev to be poide the eved for 10 times its value, like the father has to do? However, we could also be asking the question as to whether, when the eved now goes and runs away from his adain, does the son lose his bailus in the eved as well? Now, if you'll notice in Rashi Dibra Maschil Machar Avdoi, he only brings down the second part of the Gzeira that we mentioned. He says the ibarach min ha'evet kechavim. If the eved runs away from the goy, ein yisrael yachal lekoyfay la'avidasai. The emes ein banav yachal lekoyfay. Rashi and Gittin, on the other hand, says ma'u sheyiknesu es benoy lifdoisai. He learns that the Gemara's shaila in the Gemara and Gittin relates to the first part of the Gzeira that we mentioned. The fact that the father had to go and be poided. Now the question is, does the son also have a chiv to be poided to him for 10 times his value? Once again, Rashi in Bechayres learns the sugya there, just like he learns the sugya in Gittin. So in Bechayres and Gittin, he understands that we're talking about the case where the Eved did not yet run away, and the Shaila that's being discussed is whether the son has to be poided just like the father does. And our sugya is talking about where he ran away, and the question is whether the son loses bailus on the Eved just like the father would have lost bailus. One can ask, and this ha'ara appears in the Gois of the Paris Yosef over here, that how is it possible for the ben not to have the knas? After all, it would seem that the knas d'chachamim were misakin when the person sold his eved to the guy, is that he already is yotzei lechiras at that moment. Meaning as follows. Without the special knas that Chazal were misakin for a person that sells his eved to a guy, the halacha would be that he immediately, automatically, goes back to the original adin. And that's because a guy cannot really have a kinyan on a Jew. So the Eved essentially is still owned all along by the Jew. It's just that he sold rights to the guy to be mishabed with this person. So it was like he sold him as a worker. The moment he runs away and he's mafkia the bailus of the guy, he automatically goes back to original Adain who didn't lose ownership. Came along Chazal and they were misakin that he's yotzei lecheiros, which means that they were mafkia the Eved. They said that the Eved is no longer owned by the first Jew. So if that's what Chazal were misakin, how could anybody even imagine that the son would be allowed to be mishabed the Eved? The father already lost bailus of that Eved. And this seemingly was Chal already back then, as soon as he sold him to the guy. At that moment, Chazal said, okay, we're mafkia your bailus. So how could that possibly change when the father dies? The Ksav Sofer in Or Chaim, Simon Pei, says a big chiddush. He says that Chazal were not mafkir the Eved the moment the person sold the Eved to the guy. Rather, only at the point that the Eved ran away from his Adain did they choose to be mafkir the Eved. And therefore, he says, we could be talking about a case where the Eved ran away from his Adain after the father died. And the Gemara's Shaila is, does the running away of the Eved trigger off the same response, legabe the son, as it does legabe the father? And this is a chiddush, because why should it be that way? Why should Chazal be misakin that he should lose his bailus only after the Eved runs away? It would seem that the Ksav Sofer holds that Chazal's takana was only instituted when it becomes practically negeya lemaisa. Since while it was under the guy, it was not negeya, because even if the original owner has a bailus on a theoretical level, it has no expression lahalacha. Therefore, the point at which they were mafkia, his bailus, is only after he runs away, because then it becomes negeya. Alternatively, we can be medayik the lashon of Rashi in our sugya. Rashi's lashon is, the ibarach min ha'evet kechavim ein yisrael yachol lekoifei la'avodasai. The emes ein banav yachaylun lekoifei. Rashi seems to be saying that Chazal actually were not really misakin that the Eved is taken away from the Adain. Rather, Chazal were misakin that it's usher for him to be koifeim lavaydasai. He's not allowed to force him to work. Now, even though the lashon of the Mishnah in Gittin is that he's yotze ben chayrin, we could understand that the fact that he goes at lecheiros is only a product of the takanas Chazal that he's not allowed to be mishabed him. Because the moment a person is in a situation in which he has an eved that he cannot be mishabed, the eved automatically goes lecheiros. Therefore, it could be that legabi the ben, we didn't give him the first step, which is that he's not allowed to be koife the eved to work, and in turn, memele, he will now not go lecheiros. There's an interesting tshuva from the Rebbe Yehuda, Madura Kama Simen Chof, where he says that chometz shavar lav haPesach, where we know that the halacha is that the chometz becomes aser, and this is a knas because the person wasn't mevayer the chometz before Pesach. He says that it would be aser if the person then dies, it would be aser to his son as well. And he explains that by chometz, since it was ready chal, a shame iser, on the gufa chometz, it will not go away. The iser that was chal on the chometz doesn't just leave when the person dies. Because it's not like now the gather of the iser is a knas. Maybe the sibas iser, the cause for the iser, is that we wanted to give a knas to the owner. But what that in turn caused was that the chametz should become usser. Therefore, it's going to be usser to the son as well. And this you really see in the lashon of our Gemara, because the Gemara says, when giving us the tut stadim, it says, do we say gavra kanis rabbanon v'halese? The rabbanon were kindness, the person, and the person is no longer here. Idilma mamayna kanis rabbanon v'ha'ise. Meaning that as soon as the knas is chal on the chefta, the mamon, so then the knas remains. So too, l'gabi chametz shavu l'av pesach, since Chazal asered the chefta, they said that the chametz becomes aser, that knas will remain. The Mishnah tells us, Ein loikhin batim avodim ubehema elo letzerich hamoyed. You're not allowed to buy houses, avodim, animals, unless you're doing it letzerich hamoyed. There are two ways to understand this line in the Mishnah. The simple way to understand the Mishnah is that the only thing that is usher to buy on Chol HaMoed is these three things, batim, avodim, ubehema, because their purchase involves great pirsum. And that means that it would come out that other things you're allowed to purchase no matter what, even if it's not letzarech HaMoed. However, Tosfos in Debra Maschil Ein Loikchim say b'shem the Rabbeinu Yosef that hu adin b'shar dvarim. All other things, not just batim, avodim, and behemoths are usher to sell or purchase during Chol HaMoed. It's usher to sell peiros as well, he says. Unless you're doing it letzarech HaMoed, of course. So why did the Mishnah single out these three things? Says Tosfos, in order to tell me the Chiddush, that even these three things, which involve tremendous pirsum, if it's letzarech HaMoed, then you're allowed to buy them. So Tosfos' shita is that everything is really usher unless it's letzarech HaMoed. You're not allowed to do any form of commerce that's not letzarech HaMoed. There are Rishonim that argue on Tosfos. The Beis Yosef in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Tes brings down these Rishonim, the Reim, the Rekech, the Ogur, and the Meiri in our Sugya brings down such a Shita as well. They all hold that the Isser is only shayach to these three things, Batim, Avadim, and animals. All other things you're allowed to buy, you don't need the Tanai that it's letzarech HaMoed. Lahalacha, it's really machloikis. Machloikis between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber paskins like Tosfos. You're not allowed to buy anything that's not letzarech HaMoed. And the Ramah, this is in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Tes. In Sif Yud Beis, paskins like the Rekeach. The Mishnah Berurah over there in Tav Kuf Lamed Tes, in Sif Katan Mem Gimel, he brings several poskim that say that you should not be mekel like the Ramah. And therefore a person should not buy things that's not letzarech HaMoed on Chol HaMoed. If it happens to be that if he doesn't purchase it now, he's not going to find it for a significantly lower price that he can now find it for, then it's already considered like a davra oven, and then he's allowed to. Now, the other exception brought down in the Mishnah to the rule that you're not allowed to buy things on Chol HaMoed, or the rule that you're not allowed to buy batim, avodim, and behemoth, is that you're allowed to buy letzarech ha-moicher she'en lo ma-yoichel, even if I don't need it letzarech ha-moed, but if the moicher doesn't have what to eat, I'm allowed to buy it from him. The Gemara brings down a shayla, Rava Aser of Nachman, what about schar pe'ula she'en lo ma-yoichel? If a poyel doesn't have what to eat, am I allowed to hire him to do work for me on Chol HaMoed in order that he should have what to eat? And the Gemara is poshit from the lashon of the Braisa that you're allowed to hire a poyel who's ein lo ma-yoichel. However, according to some poskim, there's a chilik between the din that you're allowed to purchase something from a moicher who's ein lo ma-yoichel and the din that you're allowed to hire a poyel who's ein lo ma-yoichel. By a moicher who doesn't have what to eat, it's mutter for him to sell and for me to buy from him, even if he has what to eat. It's just that he wants to be marviach a little bit more so that he can be moitzi yitzoyetz l'soyrech simchas yamtif. Let's say he wants to buy special foods. Or like Yerushalmi says, you're allowed to purchase from him in order that he should be able to buy finer wines. Masha'enkein apoyel, there's a machlekes achroinu about this. According to the Magen Avram, in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Tes, the only time that it's mutter to employ apoyel is if he doesn't even have enough to buy lechem umayim. If he doesn't have enough to buy bread and water, then you're allowed to employ him. But otherwise, you're not allowed to. However, the Eliyahu Rabba holds that even over here, there's a heter if the person wants to buy extra things like basar and yayin, letzarech simchas yomtiv. The Bir Halacha at the end of Siman Tav Kuf Mem Beis wants to be toiler this on a machloikis Bavli and Yerushalmi, Ayin Shom. Now, after establishing that the din, that you're allowed to do something for somebody she'en lo ma-yoichel, is true not only by a moicher, but even by a poyel, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah in Psachim that is discussing the Isser Malacha on Erev Pesach. Over there it's Mavur, that even those places where the minig is not to do Malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, So in those places, it's usur to do malacha. Nevertheless, there are three balei malacha that are mutter to do malacha on Erev Pesach, Kodem Chatzos. They are the chayotim, saparim, and koivsin. A tailor, a barber, and a laundromat. And in the Braisa, it's mavur that the reason behind these three exceptions is because Erev Pesach, since it is more kal than Chol HaMoed, we're matir any malacha that there's some sort of oifen where you're allowed to do that malacha on Chol HaMoed. And since even on Chol HaMoed, there's a heter for saparim and koivsin to do malacha, what is that? If somebody comes from Medinas Hayam or came out of Beis HaAsurim, then we know that it's mutter to cut his hair, it's mutter to wash his clothes, even on Chol HaMoed. So we therefore are matir that malacha on Erev Pesach. That's the rule. Erev Pesach, you could do something that has an oifen of heter on Chol HaMoed. Similarly, the Gemara says that since a hedyot is allowed to sew, so a professional tailor is allowed to do his malacha, even though he's a professional, on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, in those places where the makam is not to do malacha, because there's an oifen of heter. A hedyot could do the tefira on Chol HaMoed. Anytime you have an oifen of heter on Chol HaMoed, it's mutter to do that malacha in every scenario on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara asks that if you're going to tell me that a person who is a poyel and he doesn't have what to eat, then it's mutter on Chol HaMoed as well. That means that every single profession should really have a heter on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. Because essentially every single profession has an oifen of heter to do the malacha on Chol HaMoed, which is the case that Ein Lo Ma'yoichal. Now the Ritva asks that why did the Gemara have to ask from our case of the poyel who's allowed to do malacha when he doesn't have what to eat? If indeed there's a rule that on Erev Pesach you're allowed to do malacha whenever you have an oifen of heter on Chol HaMoed to do that malacha, why can't we say that every single malacha has an oifen of heter on Chol HaMoed, which is when it's a davar ha'avid? So since you have a heter when it's a davar ha'avid to do the malacha on Chol HaMoed as well, it should be mutter on Erev Pesach. And now essentially every malacha should be mutter on Erev Pesach. Answers the Ritva that since Davar HaAvid, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Dafyot Alf Mebeis, the din is that when you do malacha for a Davar HaAvid, you have to do it with a shinoi. It's not defined as something that is inherently mutter to do in a specific scenario. When is it that we say that on Erev Pesach you're allowed to do a malacha that has an oifen of heter on Chol HaMoed? Only if the oifen of heter on Chol HaMoed is kedarkai. And that's actually the lashon of the Braisa. Shekein hedyot toifer kedarkai b'chol HaShemoed. Since, says the Ritva, this Braisa may be Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara has no right to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda from the case of Davar HaAvid, since his shita is that Davar HaAvid you have to do a shinui. Now, the lumdus behind the Ritva's teretz is as follows. When we say that it's mutter to do on Erev Pesach malachas that have a heter on Chol HaMoed, what we mean is that you see that those malachas have leniencies. The leniency that we see in the malacha is the fact that there are certain scenarios on Chol HaMoed in which they are mutter. And that is like the idea that you find many places in Shas that the Gemara will say that a certain din is more kal, it's more lenient because it's hutar michloloi. Hutar Mechlaloi means that the Torah, or the Rabbanan, didn't aser the thing in all scenarios. There are certain scenarios in which the Isser originally wasn't Chal. However, the din of Davar HaAvid, if you indeed need a Shinoi, is not a statement about the Melachis. It doesn't show me that Melachis are Hutar Mechlalam when it comes to a Davar HaAvid. Because if that were the case, I wouldn't require a Shinoi. Rather, it's a statement about the koyach of the davar ha'avid, the hefzid that you may suffer to override the malacha. This is what we explained back on Daf Yud Aleph as being the difference between hutra and the chuya. Hutra means that programmed into the original isser is the fact that in this particular scenario, it's not asr. The chuya means that it is asr, it's just that there's an overriding factor being doicha the isser. The best barometer to determine whether it's hutra or dechuya is if you need a shinui. If we tell you that when we allow you to do the malacha of davar avid, you still have to do it with a shinui, that means that the isser is still here. It's not as though the isser was never said in this scenario. The isser was said, but you have something overriding it. When we have something overriding it, we tell you, okay, so do it at least with a shinui. So when is it that we told you that on Erev Pesach you're allowed to do a malacha that you're allowed to do, that you have a scenario in which you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed? Only if the malacha is one that's hutra on Chol HaMoed. Because then the fact that you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed in a certain scenario shows that it's more kal, that it's a malacha that wasn't given in all scenarios. But if all we know about on Chol HaMoed is a din dechuya, like by Davra Avid, then we see nothing about the essence of the malacha. We don't see that it's the type of malacha that was not given in all scenarios. It was given in all scenarios, and you just have some certain overriding factors. So that would seem to be the oimik of what the Ritva is saying. Now, the Gemara's maskana is that we can't ask questions from the din of Erev Pesach to the din of Chol HaMoed. Even if there are certain scenarios in which you're allowed to do malacha because the poel doesn't have what to eat, that doesn't mean that that malacha is always going to be mutter on Erev Pesach because there's a scenario in which on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to do it. Because, as the Gemara says, there's a big difference between the din of Erev Pesach and the din of Chol HaMoed. The din of Chol HaMoed, mishum tircha-hu. The reason why there's an isser to do malacha on Chol HaMoed is because of tircha. Therefore, says the Gemara, b'makam pseida sharu rabbanan. Since the whole isser is because of tircha, the isser of tircha is in order that you shouldn't be memayit in your simchas aregel because you're so busy doing malacha. So b'makam pseida, when there's a loss involved, so you'll have a bigger mania from simchas yamte because you're going to be busy thinking about your loss of money. Mash'enkin arba asar mishum tzorich yamtefu. The reason why on Erev Pesach it's asar to do malacha is because we want to make sure that the person is available to do the tzorich yamtef. He shouldn't be busy doing other things. And therefore, midi the tzorich yomtiv, things that involve tzorich yomtiv, you're allowed to do, shoru rabbanon. Midi the lav tzorich yomtiv, loy shoru rabbanon. That's why these three poelim exclusively are mutter to work on Erev Pesach. Because all three of them, tailors, barbers, and laundromats, involve work that's litzorich yomtiv. So what it sounds like from the maskana of this Gemara is that which the Gemara said earlier, and the lashon of the Braisa, is mevur, that the whole reason why you're allowed to do malacha, these three malachas you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach, is because they are malachas that have a kula on Chol HaMoed, hedya, tofer, kedarkai, etc., is not really the ikar tam. Because it comes out now that the real reason why you're allowed to do these things is because they're litzorich yomtev. So it really has nothing to do with the fact that there is a heter to do these malachas on Chol HaMoed. And that's how the Ritva seems to learn. It brings down Shem Rashi and Tosfos that there's a machloikis here in our Gemara. Rav Ashi, who's giving this teretz, understands that it's not the ikar tam. That which we said, that you're allowed to do it because there are a fanim of heter on Chol HaMoed, is not the ikar tam. The ikar tam is because they're litzorich yomtev. The Gemara was just adding an additional tam to the main tam. The main tam is litzorich yomtev, and the Gemara is adding the fact that there are also certain leniencies in these malachas since you find a fanim of heter on Chol HaMoed. However, the Karen Ira asks that in the Gemara in Psachim, we find the machloikes between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, if a sandler is also one of the people that's allowed to do malacha on Erev Yomtiv. And the svara behind saying that he could do malacha on Erev Pesach is because there is an oifen of heter for oilei regalim who come and need their shoes fixed. They're allowed to go to a sandler and get their shoes fixed even on Chol HaMoed. The tzad that the Gemara says that they're not included in those that are allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach is that it's not as if they're totally mutter to do their malacha on Chol HaMoed, because that which we find that for Oilei Regalim they're allowed to work, that's only in order to fix already existing shoes. But to manufacture new shoes, we never find an oifen of heter. We never find any way that a sandler is allowed to make new shoes. So asks the Karen Oyer that if you understand like the Ritva, that the Iker Tam is that anything that's a Tzorich Yomtif you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach, then what's the Gemara Shaila? You should be allowed to manufacture new shoes since that is Tzorich Yomtif. And therefore the Karen Oyer learns a different pshat in our Gemara. He learns that the Gemara is not saying that the Braisa is Lav Dafka. He learns that the main time, the reason why these three people are allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach is because, like the Braisa says, that we find Eifanim of Heter for them on Chol HaMoed. So there's leniencies with any Malacha that you're allowed to do in certain scenarios on Chol HaMoed. However, when the Gemara says at the end that it's only because it's Litzorich Moed, the Gemara means to qualify the statement that we made. When is it that you're allowed to learn from the leniencies that you can do Malachas on Chol HaMoed? Only if those leniencies come from the fact that they are Litzorich HaMoed. If, for example, the reason why it's Mutter on Chol HaMoed is because it's a Davar HaAvid, then you cannot learn out from there to Erev Pesach. The only things that you can learn out from Chol HaMoed to Erev Pesach is things that on Chol HaMoed are Mutter because they're Litzorich Yomtiv. The Mela says the Karen Oira, we understand the suffix of the Gemara in Psachim. because since making new shoes is something that we do not find on Chol Hamoed a heter for, so the din to be matar on Erev Pesach will not start. The first thing that you need is that there's an oifen of heter on Chol Hamoed. All the Gemara is doing, though, is saying that when could you learn out from Chol Hamoed if the things that are mutar on Chol Hamoed are mutar because they're letzarech yomtiv. The Mishnah tells us two halachas. Ein mefanin mibayis labayis. You're not allowed to be mefana kelim from one house to another. Avo mefanahu l'chatzeroi. As the Gemara is going to explain, that from one house to the chatzer that is off that house, it's mutter. Because there's less tircha involved. And the whole reason why you're not allowed to be mefana mechafotzim mibayis labayis is because there's tircha. And on Chol Hamoed, they were not matter things that involve tircha. The Ritva says because it's nira kemasa choyl, it's like uvda de choyl. Al kol panim, the Mishnah brings down a second din. It says ein mevi'in kelim mibeis ha'uman. You're not allowed to take kelim that you gave to an uman to fix and bring them home. Now Rashi in Psachim daf nun hei mebeis says that the reason for this halach is also because of tircha. However, the Nemuki Yosef and the Ran give a different reason. They say that the reason why you're not allowed to take kelim home mibeis ha'uman is because people who see you taking them home will be choshed that you gave them to the uman to be mesaken on Chol Hamoed. So these are two separate reasons, either because of tircha or because of chashad. Says the Magen Avram in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Dalet Sif Katan Vav that there's a big nafkamina between these two reasons. And that is, are you allowed to take kelim home from a beis ha'uman if you're taking it into the same chatzar that the beis ha'uman is found in? Because if you learn like Rashi that the reason why they assert taking home kelim and beis ha'uman is because of tircha, well, we know from the reisha of the Mishnah that any time it's la'oiser chatzar, then it's mutter, because that's how Abaya explains the seifa of the Mishnah. He says, avu mefanu l'chatzeroi, it means l'bayis shebechatzer. There's less tircha involved. So, of course, if the reason for emevi and kelim beis ha'uman is because of tircha, like Rashi, so then it would be mutter. However, if you learn that it's because people are going to be choshed that you gave it into the uman today, then you still will have the problem of chashad. So the Magen Avraham says, according to those Rishonim, it would be usher even l'bayis shebe'oiser chatzer. Now the Gemara asks the stira between the din of our Mishnah, which says emevi and kelim beis ha'uman, and the Mishnah in Psachim that says that Melichin Umevian Kalum Beis Uman Vapishain Lutzer Chamoyed. The Gemara's teretz is, this is the teretz that Rav Papa gave Rava, who was trying to see if they're capable of answering the question, and he says, Kam Barba Aser Kan Bechelu Shel Moyed. The Mishnah in Psachim is only talking about Arba Aser, which is not as chamor as Chol Hamoed, which means that on Erev Pesach, even though they assert Melacha, but they didn't assert things that are only Aser on Chol Hamoed because of the tircha involved. If there's tircha and no malacha, it's not asr on Erev Pesach. The second teretz the Gemara gives is that both of them are talking about Chol Hamoed. However, you're allowed to take things home, beis ha'uman, if you are not ma'aminoi, if you don't trust the uman. As the Gemara then goes and brings a brisa to that effect. The brisa says, mevi'in kelim, beis ha'uman, kigoin kad, beis ha'kader, etc., which are things l'tzer chamoyed, avoloid semer mebeis hatzabav lekelim mebeis ha'uman, you can't take things that are not l'tzer chamoyed on Chol Hamoed, because you're not allowed to be teireach for things that are not l'tzer chamoyed. However, says the Braisa, v'im ein loy ma yoichal, if the uman doesn't have what to eat, then you're allowed to pay him and leave the item by him. What happens though, says the Braisa, if you don't trust him, im ein ma'minoi, then manicha bebayis ha'somuchla, you're allowed to put it in a house that's near the uman. If you're worried that it's going to get stolen, then you could bring it home. Of course, the Braisa says you have to do it bitzina. The Gemara is doiche this teretz, because over there in Psachim it says not only mevi'im, but even meilichin. And meilichin, there's no way that you can understand according to the second teretz. And therefore, the Gemara goes back to the first teretz. So we have a braisa here that tells us that anything that's not letzer chamoyt, you're not allowed to bring home from the base of uman. But then the braisa said that im ein loy ma yoichal if the uman doesn't have what to eat, noisin loy schori, then you're allowed to pay him on Chol Hamoed in order that he should have what he needs. And the item that you gave him, you leave with him. Asks the Magen Avraham over there in Tavkuf Lamed Dalet, why is the question as to whether you could pay him and leave your item in his house dependent on whether he has what to eat or he doesn't have what to eat? Ein loy ma yoichal is a heter that allows you to do melachis on Chol Hamoed. Right now we're talking about paying the uman. Now paying the uman shouldn't be dependent on whether he has what to eat or not. Even if he has what to eat, you're just paying a choiv. You're allowed to pay a choiv on Chol HaMoed. If you're leaving the item in his house, you're not taking it home. What could be the problem? So the Magen Avraham says that Ein Echenami. When it says in the Brayse of him, Ein Loi Ma Yoichal Nois Loi Schoroi Umanichai Etzloi, that's not to the exclusion of somebody who is Yesh Loi Ma Yoichal. Somebody who has what to eat, you're also allowed to pay him and leave the item in his house. What the Brayse means to say is that it's only a person is Ein Loi Ma Yoichal that the rest of the Brayse is said. The rest of the Brayse says Vim Ein Loi Ma Minoi Manichai Abayis HaSomach Loi, and of course finally that if you don't have a place to put it, you're allowed to take it home. All this, says the Magen Avraham, is only true in the event that the person's Ein Loi Ma Yoichal. Why is that? Because if he's Yesh Loi Ma Yoichal, then it's preferable not to pay him. Since you are going to be in a situation that once you pay him, you don't trust him and you don't want to leave it by him, and then you're forced to take it home. Well, who told you to do that? Don't give him the money now. Wait until after Yom Tov. That's when you'll pay him, and then you'll take the item home. What is causing the heter to bring it home is because you paid him the money and you don't trust him to keep it there. So really, if he's yesh loy ma yoichal, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to not pay him, wait until after Yom Tov. However, if he's ein loy ma yoichal, then you have a chiyuv to pay him because you want to make sure that he has what to eat. So it's then that you're stuck with the problem that now you don't trust him to keep your thing once you paid him already. And that's when the bride has a special kula that you're allowed to bring it to the Bayis HaSamach Loi, and if you have a chashash, it's going to get stolen, or you don't trust him, so then you're allowed to bring a bitzina into your house. The Prima Gadim over there on that Magen Avraham has a very interesting shaila. The halacha is, and this is gepaskind in Choshem Mishpat, Simen Shinvav, Sif Aleph, that kol ha'umanim shomri sacharheim. If an uman has my object, he has a din of a shomer sachar. Which means that he's chayiv b'gneiva v'aveda. If somebody is watching something for me for free, yeshem echinam, he's pater in gneiva v'aveda, he's only chayiv for pshia. But if he's getting paid or he has some sort of benefit from the object that he's holding, then he's called a shomer sachar. And a shomer sachar is chayiv b'gneiva v'aveda. The uman is receiving a benefit by holding my item because it gets him the payment that he needs. However, let's say the uman calls me up and he notifies me that my thing is finished. He says, gemartiv. Or he says, Toilo Shulcha, take your item and bring me the money. Then he changes into a Shomer Chinam because he's finished his job already. So this item is not servicing him anymore. There is one case in which he remains a Shomer Sachar, and that is if he expresses the fact that he's going to hold on to the item until you bring the money. So then the item is still servicing him because it's like a Mashkin. So if he says to him, Have Mois V'Toilo Shulcha, first he says, "Take, bring your money and then take your object," then he remains a Shomer Sachar. So I'll call upon him in a regular case. The din is that once he notifies me that he's finished his job and I should come pick it up, then he turns into a Shomer Chinam. Ask the Prima Gadim, what about in our case? Do we say that as soon as the Uman notifies him, he changes into a Shomer Chinam? Or, says the Prima Gadim, perhaps, even though in an ordinary case, he changes into a Shomer Chinam, nevertheless, in our case, since it's Chol HaMoed, and the Baal HaBayis is not allowed to bring it home, then we consider it as if he hasn't yet told him Toilo Shulcha or Gemartiv. It's as if he hasn't notified him that he's finished. And he would then remain a Shomer Sachar. What the Prima Gadim means to say is that the whole idea that when I say to you Gemartiv, I'm finished working on your thing, and now you should come pick it up, is terminating the relationship of a Baal HaBayis to an Uman and changing it into a relationship of a Baal HaBayis to a Shomer. And he's saying that you cannot terminate the relationship of a Baal HaBayis to an Uman unless it's actually available for him to pick it up. Because part of the original understanding is that when you give me the thing to work on, I'm also becoming a Shomer Sachar, and I remain a Shomer Sachar until I make it available for you to pick it up. By telling you on Chol HaMoed, come and pick it up, I'm not really making it available to you, because the halacha says you're not allowed to pick it up. And the Prima Gadim ends off with the Tzarech Iyun, he's not sure how to paskin in such a case. Now we mentioned from the Magen Avraham the fact that it's really mutter for anybody, even when the Uman has what to eat, to bring the money to him and give it to him on Chol HaMoed. So when the Braisa says that it's only Ein Loi Ma Yoichal, then Nois Loi Schorei, the Braisa doesn't mean that only in that case it's Nois Loi Schorei. Anytime you're allowed to be Nois Loi Schorei. The Braisa just means that Ein Loi Ma Yoichal, that's when he has the heter mentioned later in the Braisa to bring it home Bitsina if he doesn't trust him. Masha'enki, and if the guy has what to eat, then when he doesn't trust him, then he's not allowed to bring him over the money and then rely on the heter to bring it bitzina. Rav Yashiv in his Aris over here says that from the lashon of the brisa, it's mashma not like the Magen Avraham is saying, because the lashon of the brisa is mashma only im ein loy ma yoichal, then you're allowed to bring him the money. If he's yesh loy ma yoichal, then you shouldn't bring him the money at all. Why is that? The Magen Avraham seemingly is right. There's no reason why it should be usher to be peireach choiva in chol hamoed. He answers based on the rule that uman is koine b'shvach kli. We mentioned this rule on Daf Yud Beis, and that is that as soon as the uman is mashbiach, a person's kli, he makes it worth more because of the work that he puts into it, he gets a kinyan in that kli. Therefore, says Rabbi Yashiv, when I go and give him the money, what I'm really doing is giving him money for a purchase. Because the geder adavra, when I get something back from an uman and pay him for it, what I'm really doing is buying back my kli, which he was koine. Or at least, according to most shitas, you're buying back the shvach that the uman was mashbiach. He doesn't have a kinyan in the whole kli. Now, what Rabbi Yashiv means to say is that even though we don't paskin umen kan reshvach kli, and simin shin vav and chashim mishpat, siv beis, it's nifsak that ain umen kan reshvach kli, but it could be that this braisa is of the opinion that umen kan reshvach kli, and since the umen is actually kaina a chaluk of my kli, when I give him the money, I'm doing mekechu memkar on chol hamoed, and that you're not allowed to do. You're allowed to pay a bal chayv, but you're not allowed to do commerce. You're not allowed to buy and sell things. However, what he's saying is actually dependent on a machlokes between the ktsais and the sivis over there in Simen Shin Vav, whether an uman is actually koine b'shvach kli in all cases or not. According to the Nesivis over there, the rule that uman koine b'shvach kli is only a halacha that is said in the event that the uman messes up. Because generally speaking, the uman is makta to the Baal Bais. He did it on his behalf. Only when he messes up and it's going to cause him to have to pay more money, that's when the uman is not makta back to the Baal Bais. It's a large discussion over there between the Ktsois and the Nesivis. What Rabbi Yashiv is saying is only bidas haktsois. The Mishnah tells us, mechapen es haktsiois bekash. You're allowed to cover ktsiois. Ktsiois are figs that were laid out in the sun in order to dry, and you're allowed to cover them to protect them from rainwater because it's a davar ha'avid. Rabbi Yehuda says, af ma'avin. You're even allowed to do ma'avin, not just mechapin. Now, what does ma'avin mean? The Gemara discusses it. The Gemara brings a machlokes between Rav Chiya bar Abba together with Rav Asi against Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Asi are both going in the name of Chizkiya, and Rav Yochanan argues with them. Chad Amar mechapin aklushe ma'avin asmuche. V'chad Amar mechapin ben aklushe ben asmuche ma'avin oisa oisa kimin kri. That means, day number one holds that mechapin, which it says in the Mishnah is mutter, means to cover the ktsias, but a kisui rafa. Aklushe means a weaker type of kisui, because you do not put the sticks or the branches that serves as your cover close together. You leave spaces in between them. So it is a inferior type of covering. And asmuche means thick. You put the pieces together. And that is where the lashon of ma'avin would come from. So according to Deir number one, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you're allowed to put it close together, and the Tanakhama holds you're not allowed to do that. Deir number two holds that mechapin means cover it, whether you cover it by putting them far apart, or you even cover it putting them close together. That all goes under the category of mechapin, which is mutter according to the Tanakhama. What is ma'avin, which is usher according to the Tanakhama, and mutter according to Yehuda? Oysan kimin kri. Meaning that you put the figs together and you make it like a pile so that it's easier to cover the whole thing at once. So it seems that would take more work than both akluche and asmuche. The Gemara then brings a raya, Tanya Nami Hachi, that ma'avin actually means oisa oisa kimin kri. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Yomtev Perek Ches Halacha Yud Dalid says simply, o mechapen es haktzias bekash kedei shelo yevedu. He doesn't tell us what type of mechapen is mutter. Says the Magid Mishnah, the reason why he sois him is because he holds that whether you do it akluche or you do it asmuche, it would be mutter. Since the Gemara brought a Tanya Nami Hachi to show that Rabbi Yehuda, who goes further than the Tanakhama, actually is going to the extreme case of making it into a kri, you see from that according to the Tanakhama, the heter would be true whether you did it with spaces in between or you put them closer together. Because the pirish of mechapin is dependent on how you understand ma'avin. However, the Torah in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Ches says, "Hayuloi te'enim shtuchim besada liyavish." If he had figs that were spread out in the field to dry, the yarei me'amotar is afraid of rainwater. Yochel chasoisan bekash kisui rofa avaloi kisui av. You're allowed to cover the figs a weaker kisui and not a thicker kisui. Says the Beis Yosef, you see that the Torah is paskining like the first daya in the Gemara, that mechapin means akluche and ma'avin means asmuche. And since he paskins like the Tanakama, who's only mater mechapin and not ma'avin, he paskins that you're allowed to only do a kisui rafa. But he asks that the Rambam L'chaira is right, because as the Magen Mishnah says, there's a Tanya Kavasi to the second sheet. The Gemara says, Tanya Namihachi, ma'avin means oisoi sikmin kri. And if ma'avin means oisoi sikmin kri, then mechapin means bein rafa, bein av. So you have to learn that the Torah understands that these are two independent discussions. Even though we brought a Tanya Namihachi to show that when Rabbi Yehuda is mater af ma'avin, it means that you're allowed to make it into a kri, there's still a mokum to say that mechapin only means a klushe. Even though it's very strange, one has to wonder, why would the Torah learn that way? From the Gemara, it sounds like the two discussions are dependent on each other. On Kol Panim, because of the kasha the Beis Yosef has on him, in the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins like the Rambam and not like the Torah.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.